Hey there. Welcome to Coffee with the Docs. We are a holistic lifestyle podcast where we give integrative solutions and bring brilliant experts to help you thrive, mind, body, and spirit. We are Drs. Nicole Huffman and Abby Kramer, and we're so happy you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee with the Docs. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. It's something I've kind of been reading about and researching for a long time, which is EMFs. And we were really happy to have Brandon on from Blue Shield. It's after a lot of thought and research, I decided to purchase one of their EMF devices. And I'm really impressed with how it works, the research. And so, you know, this episode isn't only about Blue Shield, it's about EMFs and how they negatively impact our health and how it's an area that we definitely need to be looking at. So I thought he did a great job at addressing all of our questions.
Yeah. When he talks about like the chickens, I'm just like blown away. I'm like, my chickens need a, they don't peck each other to death, but like, I'm like, what can we do to help the egg quality here? So yeah, I mean, animals are the best studies ever because they're not going to lie and they don't know what you're doing. So it's perfect. I mean, I don't know, it's super interesting. So you guys will love it. It's great. We've got a link in the show notes. Check that out if you guys are interested in looking at any of their products as well. And then, of course, we have to talk about our amazing coffee sponsor, Life Boost. We are obsessed. Obviously coffee with the Docs, we drink coffee, even though when I'm like cutting back on my caffeine a little bit, I just love the taste. Yeah. So I do their decaf, and they just do it right. They're super clean. They, you know, support like small farms. It, like everything they do is amazing. And so we love them, and you can use code CWD15 for 15% off any Life Boost coffee. And we know you'll love it.
Yep. So enjoy the episode. It'll be super eye-opening. You'll probably want to listen to it five times over. We went real deep on EMFs, but it's super informative.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee with the Docs. We are thrilled today to have Brandon on from Blue Shield. Brandon, thanks for your time and for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to get into it today about all things EMF and energy.
Yeah, I think it's a really under talked about topic, I feel like. And it's really hard, I've seen, at least from like my patient's perspective, to really give it a lot of importance because it's something that they can't see. And when they look around, they see tons of people on their phones and everyone uses a computer. And so if everyone's doing it and we're all still standing, how bad can it be? And so I think it'll be a really eye-opening episode for a lot of people, which is great. We need some good information. So before we jump into everything, I'd love if you could just give a brief introduction to our audience, just kind of like who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I've been in the health and wellness space for a little over 20 years now. I've done everything from supply chain management to product development. My background is herbalism, nutrition from a traditional Chinese medicine, actually more of a Japanese lineage. So how herbalism kind of evolved from Ayurveda and migrated to Tibet and then, you know, into China and, you know, took on all these attributes of like five element theory, yin and yang theory, and migrated over to Japan. And they interfaced it with their indigenous kind of folk medicine. So that's kind of the lineage I work with as far as like health and wellness is concerned. And I eventually got into, and from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, you know, we understand the body as both physiochemical and electromagnetic. You know, we have energy, we have, you know, voltage in our cells. And so I've kind of had this idea and understanding for a long time. And as, you know, technology evolved, you know, I got more and more, it became more and more urgent, especially since I had, you know, young children. You know, how do we deal with the pervasive non-native electromagnetic radiation in the environment, which kind of led me down the path of Blue Shield and developing also on the same hand like electromagnetic instruments that help, modulate the body and actually bring about health and wellness. So EMF, when we talk about it, it's obviously a problem, and we'll get into like why that is exactly. But electromagnetic radiation, we're made up of it. So it's actually can be beneficial in a lot of ways. So it's not as black and white as like good and bad EMF, and we can get into the nuances there. But basically, my health and wellness journey led me to really kind of diving deep into, what's going on with this type of pervasive pollution that's really never existed on the planet before, like AM radio.
Awesome. Very
Nice. I didn't know
cool.
your background was in Chinese medicine. That's so cool. Yeah. We'll
So
get there.
it's a lens, it's there's a lot of cool indigenous like medicinal systems, and I take a very holistic approach to how I, approach the body both energetically and physically, and it's I try and be as full spectrum in that nature as possible.
Well, we love that. So Brandon, our every single guest we have on the show, we ask the first two questions just kind of for fun to get to know you a little bit more. Then we'll dive deep into the EMF world. So the first question is, what is your current favorite drink of choice? And the second question is, what is your latest favorite biohack?
That's a good question. Well, recently, like what I'm drinking currently right now, this very moment is this is a 1987 produced. It was actually produced at the Spring Blossom Cherry Blossom Festival in Japan. It's a very kind of rare tea. You can equate it to like more of like a black or a pu'er, except it's, I think in a lot of ways it's more well done. It's less moldy and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a black tea. It's not something you kind of have to have friends that can get it for you, but it's called fisherman's tea because
Black
fishermen would like
market fisherman's tea.
it, so they would take it out on boats and on really cold days, and it's more robust as far as its flavor profile compared to the subtle and nuanced teas you get out of Japan typically.
Wow. Did you say 1987?
Yeah, that one's 1987.
Wow.
The
Like,
family
why?
lineage that I get it from, I also have a 61 that was produced in 61. So the way they hold this stuff is like a skill just to not only like transform it and do the micro fermentation and really care for the process and understand like humidity levels and how to do it without like getting kind of like mold or any kind of like growth on it that you don't want. But also storing it for that long is kind of an art in itself,
Wow, I feel like we're talking about wine, but we're
I know,
talking
it's
about
like
tea.
vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Amazing.
very much. I enjoy coffee as well on occasion, but my palate, my stomach doesn't really do so well with it. So I can drink it for like a couple days, but then the acidity just really starts to get to me. So like teas being more, balanced and works for me. So that's kind of my thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right,
And
and your
then your
latest
second
biohack.
biohack. I'd have to say, well, I developed a like buying PEMF devices over the years. Like I never found anything that I really liked, started buying them back in like 2003 or five or somewhere in that range. And, I never really found one that I liked. So I ended up designing and building my own, and I've been using that over the last few months. That's kind of been my favorite morning routine. And then, I've been kind of pairing that with, so I use the PEMF that's kind of would be equivalent to like getting chiropractic or like massage, just very visceral, very intense. It's a high intensity pulsed impulse wave plasma machine. And I've also been working with my friend's device. So Paul Harris is the inventor of a machine called the Therify. It creates bioactive plasma fields, and it's got reverse field propagation, and creates these longitudinal compressional waves that actually create. Essentially, it creates like a high degree of order in the cell, so the cells can kind of rewind back to its highest level of memory of order, and that helps you pass on good information. Because obviously, all we're doing with cells is we're replicating, we're trying to pass on like clear information, and cells are making copies and copies and copies over time, and that becomes distorted, and that's effectively aging. So he's got one of the most, I think, innovative and unique anti-aging tools available on the market. So those are kind of my morning routine and what I do on more or less a regular basis on the biohacking level.
That's
Oh, that's
awesome. We
awesome.
have a Therify at the clinic I practice at.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
really cool. Paul's I'm actually going to be interviewing him soon and kind of going deep on some of the stuff he's never really like we've had in private conversations, but he's just a wealth of knowledge, and like he has all those these like old school esoteric books and documents from Tesla and all the kind of gods of electrical field theory, and he just has a really good under rooted grounded comprehension of like human bioenergy field and how to basically use electrostatic plasma fields to kind of basically stimulate cellular rejuvenation. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dive in. We wanted to kind of start with your story in terms of like how you got into the whole world of EMF. You talked a little bit about like maybe having like young kids that inspired it. Is there a little bit more that kind of made you go from like the herbalism nutrition world into the more electro world?
I mean, for me, it was always a little bit intertwined. I mean, acupuncture, you're basically using needles in certain points, energy vortices in the system. And you're,
Oh,
even though they look like they're not moving, they're kind of vibrating, right? So they're actually kind of creating conductivity. They're working on the dielectric of the body. You're able to kind of educate the body on how blockages happen and how to unravel those naturally themselves versus just being, you know, it's really quite a cool tool, and it's energetic in its nature, but it's also physical. So we exist on all these different levels: mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and you know, etheric. And at least that's what's traditionally taught. And so it's always kind of been in my mind. And an acupuncturist I work with actually told me about a patient that a buddy of his had, who got a blue shield, plugged it in, had headaches for a few days, and was like, came in the clinic just bitching about it, just like complaining because like I've had headaches for like 3 days and blah blah blah. And he was just blown away. He's like, okay, so you plugged in a subtle energy device into your wall and you had headaches, like a Herxheimer reaction. Meanwhile, he's doing the basic traditional, you know, acupuncturist diagnostic, you know, doing the pulse reading and looking at the biological signs, did some, you know, they did some blood work and all this kind of stuff. And the vitals were just awesome, like better, you know, communication endogenously within the organ systems, inflammation levels were down, like all these kind of key factors that are like, wow, like if you would have came in and not told me that, it seems like whatever you're working on or doing or supplementing or your movement practices, any of the stuff is working for you. But all she really did that week was just plug in a blue shield. So that got me interested in, you know, meeting the people behind it. So I ended up getting in contact with a guy named Mark Langdon. So him, he's the founder of Blue Shield, and he worked with a couple engineers. He's kind of like the creative aspect, you know, the right brain aspect of the group. There's two engineers that were working on the scalar aspect of creating these longitudinal compressions and refractions, which are the carrier signal essentially of Blue Shield. And they all kind of like hit it off years ago, and they've been working on this technology. It's went through a few iterations, and then 2009 Mark branded the name Blue Shield and trademarked it. So that's how I got involved with Blue Shield. It's the first thing that I saw. And so in my personal experience, obviously I wanted to test it out after hearing this like anecdotal stuff. And I saw their anecdotal, they did a lot of grassroots style research. You know, I think it was in the early 2000s with animals. So they would put it in chicken coops. They would tie it around, you know, cows, and basically, you know, cows that were grazing near wind turbines. And, you know, they had all this just observational. It was never like a clinical trial like we have now. It wasn't like any of this. It was just grassroots observation. Like these animals are doing better. They measured, you know, the egg, thickness of the egg, the shells of the eggs, for example. They, you know, looked at all the like parasite levels of blood. You know, one of the most impressive things was if you've ever seen any kind of factory farming with chickens, it's just totally chaotic. It's super loud, and you know, they're very nervous animals, so they tend to peck each other to death, which is kind of like not very great if you're a farmer or just for the animals in general. But what they noticed is that they went from losing like 120 roughly chickens a month down to like zero for like 2 weeks straight, and then it boosted up. It kind of normalized. It was in the 13 to 15 range, and they were used to,
Wow.
you know, losing over 100 chickens every
Wow.
month, and the decibels, the actual noise was down. So you can tell, like placebo proof, you know, not psychosomatic, because you can't really have that with animals. You could see that, wow, these animals are more calm, they're more chill, they're not, you know, so aggressive with each other. They feel better, even though they're in the same confinement, same living situation. So I found that really interesting. And then, you know, when I bought the machine, so we had our daughter was teething at the time. So, you know, she would be in bed with us, kicking us all night. Like I wasn't getting any better sleep with Blue Shield, but I felt quite a bit more rested. My wife didn't really notice much because she's not super sensitive to this type of stuff. And until like later, like a year or two later, she started noticing that like when she was around a bank of smart meters, like she would go to Whole Foods and she'd park. They have these like parking garages, and you know, on the other side of the concrete, they'd have a bank of smart meters, just crazy amounts of radiation. And she would feel it before even seeing it, and not in a
Wow.
debilitating way, just like conscious awareness type sensory perception. So I thought that was cool, even though she didn't notice it really in herself. I noticed kind of these subtle changes over time with her being exposed, you know, having the living in the Blue Shield environment. So it was a pretty profound effect on us. And you know, we've heard tons of anecdotal stuff, you know, over the years, which makes me more indoctrinated because I just became a fan of the brand, just seeing what it can do and what I've heard. And then that's what really got me into like, we need to like put this on the chopping block. Let's do a clinical trial, independent review board certified, and let's figure out what this thing can actually do. And we're one of the only companies that actually has data on one of the far upstream mechanisms, which is the voltage-gated calcium channels, as far as how it affects calcium signaling in the body.
That's awesome.
So cool. So I feel like let's take it back to super basics first, because I feel like a lot of people in the wellness world, they hear EMF all the time. They know it's not super beneficial to our health, but they don't even really understand what EMF means. So can you just kind of give us a nice basic definition of what is EMF?
Yeah, absolutely. So EMF stands for electromagnetic fields or frequencies or electromotive force. So everything that's on the electromagnetic spectrum, here's an easy way to understand it for like somebody coming into this, because this took me a very long time to kind of figure out. And I wish I would have knew more about it like in the beginning, but that's the nature of like learning, right? So everything kind of comes from this mysterious substance. Nobody really knows what it is. A lot of names being passed around is like it's ether, right? So ether condenses down into light, and light condenses down into hydrogen. And every element on the periodic table is basically a compound of hydrogen. So basically, it's a harmonic of hydrogen. So, and we look at the kind of the simplicity of nature. It's very simplex and it's very complex at the same time. We look, there's only really one fundamental atom. It's a proton. All neutrons phase into, you know, a proton, which basically tells us that every, you know, atom essentially is a phase modality thereof. So, phase modality of a proton. So, when we understand kind of at the fundamental level that everything's light, everything's harmonics of hydrogen, and they get heavier and heavier, and then they decay back into ether, and that's the cycle, that's the toroid. So we can then understand that like sunlight is electromagnetic frequencies. We know that there's a color spectrum. You know, some people try and isolate those for biohacking, and they're looking at the near infrared, they're looking at the red. All light frequencies have their benefits, respectively. You know, there's all this electromagnetic radiation. It's all around us. There's all there is energy, right? So all there is EMF. What people don't really get about EMF and EMF, the problem of EMF and why there's so much research and so much data and so many studies that have been swept under the rug about how toxic non-native EMF is. And this, when I mean, what I mean by non-native EMF is EMF that's man-made, is that the signals, the informational carrier waves, they're being transmitted by cell towers and, you know, radio towers and stuff. It's not essentially inherently bad. What happens is you're starting to piggyback information on that signal. And as that signal is transmitted with that information, whether that be a text, a video, or whatever, that information creates noise. So it's really, if you simplify it down as far as you can go, it's about signal to noise ratios. And we want to be our body. Our heartbeat is basically a compression and refraction, right? So your body's creating scalar energy. It's creating these pumps. It has all these out of phase signals that it's creating the potentiality for new life in every moment in all your cells. So what happens when these non-native EMFs interfere with our signaling is the wrong messages are sent. We're not as self-referential. We're not referring to ourselves or referring to nature. That's our feedback mechanism that we've evolved with. And with since AM radio, we've been having to deal with all these like noisy signals in the environment.
So it really started back when AM radio started, but then it's just like obviously as technology grows and with the, I'm just curious with like the 5G and stuff, do the signals just get stronger or the noise just gets louder essentially?
That's a good question. So, all 5G refers to is the latest generation of the technology. And it's like the internet, it's all stacked, right? You got the dark web and you got all these kind of layers that happen if you understand the internet. It's the same thing. So, just because we have 5G and we're using millimeter waves, which is a much faster wavelength, which can carry more information, but it doesn't travel as far. So you need repeaters all over the place. So that's great for infrastructure if your business is creating infrastructure. And those don't penetrate as deep into the body. So some of the older tech, like 3G, 4G, where you're using longer waves, you have all these different layers of technology that are working together. So the new 5G is basically using adaptive beam phasing and using all these type technologies to where it can like use what it needs at any given time. And you're basically with your computer, your phone, you're acting like an antenna now, bouncing stuff around. So even though it doesn't penetrate as deeply into the body, it's definitely going to affect the skin. But we're already kind of in a soup of all this other lower wavelength that penetrates deeper into the body, which is pretty problematic and has been for a long time. And, just, I mean, look at the history and the biomarkers where it's like, when did chronic diseases start? Of course, there's experimental stuff that people are doing in themselves. There's other things out there that are contributing. It's not ever one thing, but our environment is huge. If we're around a noisy signal, it's like try getting good sleep and your partner is in the room next door blasting heavy metal all night. Your body, all of your cells in your body are basically like little radio antennas. So when I was looking at EMF protection, I was just like, I was looking hard at the blocking thing. And, it because there's some logic to it. It's like, well, you need to remove the stimulus. Yes, but, I've had people I know personally have spent thousands of dollars like modifying their whole house. They can still get a cell phone signal, right? Like if you're actually blocking something, you wouldn't be able to transmit. You'd be essentially in a really thick Faraday cage where you couldn't transmit a signal, but hydrostatic or electrostatic fields can still penetrate a Faraday cage. You can still send scalar signals into a Faraday cage and transmit information. So it never seemed like a full solution to me. And that's what was really attractive about Blue Shield when I got involved and why I really want to start spreading the message about like this technology, because like it's something plug and play that's easy for people and doesn't cost a lot, that you're basically tuning your cells into that radio station, if you think about it that way. If you're playing your radio in your car, and you tune into, 99.9, and you're listening to classical music, you're not going to hear all the other radio stations. They're bouncing around the airwaves, right? Because all signals aren't in the radio. They're everywhere and nowhere at the same time. All you're doing is tuning a radio to pull in that information. So when you talk about like, if a meter doesn't pick this up, then it's not there. The information is still there in the ether, in the structure of nature. We can enhance our biofield in natural ways with diet, nutrition, mineralization, qigong, meditation, because your thoughts are compressional longitudinal scalar waves essentially. So you can do a lot of stuff with a deep qigong practice, like our ancestors have done. But yeah, it's I can get down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this, but it's pretty fascinating that we have better understandings of the mechanisms of why EMF is affecting them. Largely voltage gated calcium channel. There's a blood sugar component. There's melatonin and hormone disruption, but from what we see, according to Dr. Martin Paul's work on the voltage gated calcium channels, it might not be the whole picture, but it's a large part of it, and it's a very upstream mechanism because your body, your voltage gated calcium channels will release 100 times the amount of calcium when exposed to radio frequency than if you're not really in close proximity to radio frequency. Pretty crazy.
That is crazy to think about. I didn't realize that with the radio stations, like they're all there all the time. Just tuning into one. That's like
Yeah.
true.
So what Blue Shield does is when you put it in an environment, and there's an acclimation period, your body needs to entrain, but it uses a process called sympathetic resonance entrainment. And it just uses a special specialized light circuit to generate these longitudinal waves. And when those longitudinal waves are created, at the moment they're created, you can imprint information onto them. So there's this kind of like Fibonacci code that Mark came up with that has multiple layers of frequencies, even though we can't really technically call it a frequency because scalar is independent of frequency, but the informational field is based on a frequency algorithm that interfaces with the cells, and basically it's like we were saying with the radio, it tunes the cells. So that's when your body doesn't perceive EMF as a threat, it's tuned into the classical radio station versus the death metal. That's where we see the Herxheimer reaction, and we assume, and of course we're still researching this stuff. It's crazy what it does, and like it's still kind of mind-blowing that, you know, even with the clinical trial and the results that came out of that, it's still there's still a lot of mystery around the mechanisms. I mean, you know, why does the body flood the system with calcium? Is it to balance like acidity and pH levels because of exposure to radio frequency, which would, you know, tell us that radio frequency actually acidifies the body? What we do know about the voltage-gated calcium channels is there's two pathways, and this is kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning of the conversation. It's not really good or bad necessarily, because you can have electromagnetic fields that benefit the body, right? So the main pathway that's stimulated with radio frequency is the NRF2, which this is kind of, if you're using PEMF, if you're using plasma fields, if you're using any of this kind of technology, it's working on the NRF2 pathway, which is the nitric oxide signaling. So that has to do with kind of the longevity aspects and you know, the healing of the regeneration, the cellular respiration, because it's connected with the cytochrome pathway, right? So the other pathway is the peroxynitrite. So this is bad because this leads to the oxidative stress pathway, and this is what we see the damaging effects of in Dr. Martin Paul's work. So on our website at blueshield.com, you can kind of see, we have some articles there where it kind of maps that whole those chains out for you, and you can kind of see where it's like EMFs can be beneficial or they cannot be. And what we found in the clinical trial is that all of the voltage-gated calcium and voltage potassium channels basically hypermethylated, which means there's a direct effect on how the body basically was in an EMF field. And then when Blue Shield came in, it hypermethylated and downregulated those pathways, which basically, if you look at, you know, the natural killer cells, if you look at the other aspects of what was going on in that study and all the other metrics, and you piece those together, it's like, wow, Blue Shield came in and basically downregulated our voltage-gated calcium channel response, which was a huge upstream mechanism that really hasn't been studied. I mean, there's a lot of EMF
Wow.
products that have testing on water and, you know, pretty kind of relaxed regulations as far as like studies are concerned in different countries in Europe. But this is the first full-on like evidence that we've seen that an EMF protection device could, you know, th show that level of promise, you know.
So the EMF device helped like increase like methylation function and pathways.
Yeah, all the genes were hypermethylated, and there was three genes on one chromosome that was like, it was just like everything was pointing in that direction. It's like this is helping the body resist. So even though the EMF's in the environment, we're not blocking anything, we're not changing anything. Just having Blue Shield in the environment helps the biofield to adapt and really not mount an immune response. And that's what we're kind of finding is like kind of the best path forward is like, how can you harmonize yourself? You can't live in a cage. You know, you can't
No,
just hide from this
correct.
stuff forever, especially once more technology and more expansion. I mean, what can we actually do about it? And then the other thing too, that I never really kind of, I talked to Paul about this a little bit, with blocking, right? People wearing like silver lined fibers or sleeping on grounding sheets, like that's metal. Right. And you know, you're familiar with the TheraPhy. I'm glad you kind of understand that technology. What do they tell you when you're laying in there? You don't want any metal on your body, right? Because it impedes the dielectric of the body. So if you're wearing, you're basically, it can act like an aerial. So it can concentrate EMF if you're laying on these sheets. It can, you know, and then what's the ramification? It's like, okay, so you're dampening because you can't block it. Try it out. You can wrap yourself in all these clothes and have the bed canopy sheets. You could still make a call out of it. So there's a process called attenuation. So attenuation is basically the dampening of the field, right? So you can reduce strength, sure, but the noise on the signal is still in there. You're just getting a microdose of it. You're getting kind of like I wouldn't even call it homeopathic because it's not that much reduced. So there's issues with how is it impeding the dielectric of your natural biofield and your interaction with the natural plasma fields in nature, That's huge. You need magnetism. You need everything. The fundamental force in nature is magnetism. And all there is magnetism, electricity, and dielectricity. And the interplay of those three, that trifecta is, again, there's no good or bad EMF. It's just how the signal's created and how it's transmitted and what kind of coherency is there.
Right. So with the blockers, like people wearing like EMF blocking clothing, for example, I know it's really popular, especially with travel, like you're going on an airplane, but you're potentially blocking everything then. Or like more like potential positive EMFs you could be blocking
That's
as well.
the question. That's really kind of what we're asking. It's like we've never really seen any evidence. I don't think you can block out nature. And again, scalar component. So everything has a transverse electromagnetic. So think of a shoestring and you're wiggling it, right? So you have energy input on one side and it has this time delay. And what we call that time delay is hertz or cycles per second. How many times it has that time delay within a second? It's a measurement of time. Scalar energy, which I still use the term because people kind of understand it and they read about it online. It's not technically accurate. Scalar energy, when we talk about scalar, it's just a vector of magnitude with no time component. It's really not this, if we're really technical about these type of fields, these hydrostatic fields, it's a longitudinal electromagnetic pulse perturbation. So it's an agitation of the medium. It's a hysteresis of the ether. So the medium is responding to the stimulus. So a good example of this, like I'm talking to this microphone right now, I'm creating a disturbance in my lungs, right? I'm disturbing the nitrogen and oxygen, hydrogen. That's creating a compressional wave, like a sound wave. Like think of a speaker, like low bass. So it's creating this compression and refraction, meaning in and out. And that's affecting the medium, the surrounding air, the surrounding hydrogen, and that's responding to it, and it's affecting your ears to where you translate that into what I'm saying. So really, that's been the kind of the divergence in science, and that goes down. I don't know how much in the weeds of the rabbit hole you want to go down, but that gets into like some of the older electrical field theory stuff, and where there was a divergence in like the mathematicians and the people that actually created the entire energy grid that we use now. They had very, very different ideas on that. So some people that aren't very educated in it, you'll hear me and like, oh, he said the ether word, he's completely crackpot or whatever, but they don't really understand that like we don't have all of it figured out. And there is this kind of interesting force in nature that we don't really understand. And that's why goalposts are always moving in the mainstream scientific community, because they have to make up new math. It's all about like balancing equations, right? Math is not a thing. A gram, an ounce, an inch, a centimeter, those are tools. Those are agreed upon measurements. It's not the thing itself.
Like who made
So,
that? Yeah.
yeah, because when you talk about magnetism, you talk about energy, like define a field. Mainstream physics can't do it. They can't define any of this stuff really, like energy. It's just this ambiguous term because you have to say of what, on what, by what. What is this thing that's connecting all of it, right? So, can you even block yourself from all this stuff? Even if your shield is possible, you live in a Faraday cage, there's still energy transference and information transfers, because all points in time and spatialness are connected essentially. You know what I mean?
Wow.
We are just deep.
Yeah, I'm
Great.
like,
I
whoa.
love
I love it too. I'm thinking, so I have a question, and I like the idea of harmonizing to it, especially since a lot of people use this technology, use all sorts of technology to work, to create a living. It's not possible for people to be like, I'm just gonna put my office in a huge Faraday cage. It doesn't make sense, right? So when you're saying the blue shield, it's almost like, to just kind of like simplify it even more for people and myself, let's be real. Your body is essentially like, I like this classical station better than all of this other stuff that's going on. And so it's easier for your own body to tune into that. Is that kind of
Yeah, I
accurate?
mean, yeah, and I like the harmonizing concept as like you do. The terminology, because we get stuck on words and meanings and all this kind of stuff, and people wave around stickers and pendants and all this stuff, and like, oh, it's harmonizing you. It's like, Not really. Like, you're not loud enough. It's not loud enough to compete with the non-native EMF because this stuff's amplified hardcore. You know, a giant pyramid with a crystalline structure back in ancient Egypt, that could have some amazing energetic effects. But compared to like what we're amplifying and the sheer wattage that we're using now, that's a good simplification. And you can look at like Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, for example, where he would put cells in a petri dish and he'd put toxic substances and then food or nutrients on one side. And the cells have an inherent intelligence. They would migrate towards, in every single case, and they wouldn't have any human influence. They would just record it with cameras. The cells would migrate towards what's beneficial and away from what's toxic. So our body naturally wants to be in resonance with nature, and that's where we should be. So we're just trying to take signals that mimic nature as close as we can in a way that's not going to have any kind of like negative side effects, because we don't use radio frequency or any, you can transmit any signal any way, but we use these longitudinal waves, which is far more subtle, but we find it a lot more effective because it really has no potential to create any imbalance in anybody. If you're using radio frequencies and coils and, you know, big high power machines, like you can create sympathetic resonance entrainment. It's just not really going to be sustainable, and you need kind of this on and off with it to keep the adaptability of the body. Otherwise, it's going to be a constant signal that the body again wants to reject and create an impedance to.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So when people are looking at this sort of stuff, and I like that you kind of also explain that there could be those Herxheimer reactions, detox effect. What sort of symptoms would people notice being exposed to our EMFs in general? Like you said, your wife wasn't as sensitive. So just like I feel like a lot of us marry people who aren't as sensitive as we are. So what I feel might be different than, say, my husband, like what sorts of things would people notice symptom-wise?
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. What I found, and you could probably relate to this a lot, like clients, patients, people in general don't have a lot of sensitivity and a lot of stuff. Like people lose their thirst mechanism. They don't know when they're really dehydrated or when they should be hydrating, or nutrient deficiencies and their symptoms of inflammation. So a lot of what EMF does on the body, as far as visceral feeling, is very similar to a lot of, you know, if you sit in front of your computer monitor, you might get a headache, dehydrated, your eyes might strain. You know, there could be a chronic inflammation thing, but people might associate it to other things. What we know from the literature is, you know, there's major fertility issues. Because again, it's a noisy signal and it's disrupting cellular communication. You know, certain cells that should be tagged and removed by the immune system are not, and they're proliferating. You probably know what those cells are called. You know, we can see, you know, just bad sleep, blood sugar levels. Like it affects everybody different because everybody has a different, it's not a cookie cutter type thing. You know, everybody has a different constitution, different genetics that they were passed down from their parents, their Jing, and from a TCM perspective, their constitution essentially that they were passed down with. So, yeah, it affects a lot of people different. But I mean, we're seeing like sleep problems are big, especially like for kids or on their phones at night. And you know, you could say the blue light, but what is blue light? It's an EMF, it's electromagnetic field, and it's generating a certain frequency of light, right? So there's all these different problems, but a lot of them, like with, and some people are more sensitive than others, and that's where we find that, you know, people that, so there's people, there's two camps. Like if we want to get really real about it, we've talked to a lot of people over the years. There's people that have just like kind of obsessive compulsive mind, and their mind makes certain physiological things happen, and they just want to blame it on EMF. And then there's people that are actually hypersensitive. Like it's almost like an allergic reaction, but typically they have a lot of other, it could be co-infections, could be mold exposure, it could be heavy metal toxicity, you know, you name it. But they're compromised in some way where they feel these things a lot more. So that's why we're on our site. You know, a lot of EMF companies don't even talk about the nutrition side. We have some EMF detox support with adaptogens and systemic enzymes to kind of help clean the blood and, you know, do all of these kind of things, because we want to minimize Herxheimer reaction. Like when you do the environmental modification, you know, nobody, like most people, don't like cleansing. I've come to appreciate it over the years because, you know, you got to change the oil in your car, right? So you got to keep the body clean and do that in intervals. And spring is usually a good time to do that, which is coming up. Yeah, it's just a overall, it's a lot of symptoms that people live with and just think it's something else. But I want to be sensitive to the fact that like people get hyper focused and like to a nutritionist, everything's like detox or demineralization, you know, and to an EMF person, like, oh, all my problems are coming from EMF, or to an
Correct.
exercise person is like, oh, you're being
Right.
lazy, you're not working out a lot. You know what I mean? So like people get
Yeah.
hyper fixated on why things aren't working, and then it must be this thing, and they'll just focus on EMF for a while, and then they'll flip-flop. It's just a part of the health pie that nobody's looking at. Like your environment is super important, and those signals that are bombarding you all the time are chaotic. And if you take an acoustic meter and just measure it, like I'm not really into trying to block the measurable frequency. If you can create distance from that, that's all the better. Distance is your friend. But when you measure it with an acoustimeter and you make it audible and you hear like, and you hear all the noise, it sounds just totally crazy. And
Yeah.
that's what your cells perceive.
Nuts.
It's not the symphony.
Right. Yeah. Not great. Not nice music. Now, I know we talked about like cell towers and all that. What are other, like, are there other kind of sneaky sources of these like non-native EMFs that people might not necessarily think about that they're exposed to?
Yeah, I mean, cell towers are the obvious one. Routers in their house. There's voltage fields. I mean, if you take away all the walls and drywall and wood in your house, and imagine all the wires that are going through all your house, it's kind of like electromagnetic cage. You know, there's but those voltage fields only extend to about, you know, a few inches away from the wire, so it's not super crazy. But stray voltage is another one. You know, you think you're going out and grounding and standing barefoot, which is totally great, especially connecting nature. I'm not into, let me clarify this. I'm not into grounding in the sense of like plugging yourself into the house ground wire, because you're basically connecting yourself with the circuit and you're becoming part of the circuit. So all that dirty and noisy signals running through your body before it grounds out, and it's happening at like lightning speed, but
Whoa.
it's not really great for your body. But if you go walk barefoot on the ground, that's good. But then you still have a potentially stray voltage that's in there's current in the soil. You know, and depending on what kind of you know, rock or soil or whatever you're standing on, there's that thing to think about. The other aspect is that cars are crazy high because your phone has to work so much harder. It's like three times the amount of radiation than you normally get from your cell phone affecting you. So anytime you're in a car, or around if you're at a concert or a busy mall or something like that, you notice that your cell service kind of sucks, and like you can't stream videos or any of that. That's because everybody is using the bandwidth in that area. There's only so much bandwidth to go around. That's why they like slow network speeds out and stuff. So anytime you're in crowded areas or cars or whatever, your phone has to work super hard, which means it's using more battery power to transmit a stronger signal to try and receive connection with you know, a cell tower or whatever. So those are kind of the big ones.
How about electrical cars?
I mean, all cars are modern cars are electrical. You know, you're getting certainly more. I think the electric vehicles are becoming more conscious of like shielding their stuff a little bit better because of the batteries and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, if you think most modern cars, you have a computer, you have a remote start sometimes, you have, you know, the whole dashboard's lit up
How
and
about
you basically have a,
Bluetooth and
yeah.
all that
So, I
stuff?
mean, not great all the way around. It doesn't matter really if it's EV or gas at this point, even though the EVs do have like, depending on how well the circuitry is shielded, you know, they could be worse.
Right. I've seen videos of like people charging their Teslas with like EMF readers, and apparently it's like off the charts when it's like charged.
Oh,
Like
when
you
you're
don't want
charging
to
it,
sit in
yeah.
that thing when you're charging it.
Yeah, when you're charging, do not sit in it when you're charging it. Like, but when you're just driving it, it calms down quite a bit. But yeah, charging is a different animal because, I mean, that's a massive amount of energy. And where does that energy come from? Weird.
Weird.
The ether, right?
The
It wouldn't
Wow.
be coal burning, would it?
Right. Oh my gosh. Love that. Okay. So I'm trying to think in terms of like the Blue Shield technology, you guys have like a ton of different units. And is it, I guess, like explain a little bit about that. Like, obviously, it would be an ideal to have a unit at your home. And then, depending on how big your home is, you might have to have multiple units or where you're like, Because it's all this long wave technology. So I guess explain that a little bit more. And then one piggyback question off of that, when you're not in your Blue Shield protected home, are you recommending that you wear something like a pendant, a
We've
pendant?
got travel ones.
Yeah. Oh, and the
Yeah, that's
travel
a good
guys.
question. You can distill it down to there's two essential models. One is your primary protection, which is your home protection. So that plugs into the mains. And we have different sizes. You typically, most people generally don't need more than one, just because the coverage area, like you're saying, it's long. It's not long wave. It's long. It's a field
Long.
coverage area because it's not technically a wave or particle or wave particle duality. It's a longitudinal compression and refraction. And that's basically, we always say, okay, so there's different layers. Like, where do you live? If you're more rural, you can definitely use more of the entry level models. If you have, and we base this on relative proximity to cell towers. Like, this isn't, factoring in if you have a smart home. We just kind of do the best we can because we can't know everybody's situation. But basically, there's some links and references on the website that basically you can go to antennasearch.com, figure out how many cell towers you have, and then we recommend models based on strength because again, it's competing with the noisy signals. You want Blue Shield to be the dominant signal in the environment that your cells are entraining with, and your body's naturally inclined to entrain with it because it's the most natural signal in the environment. Kind of like being out in nature. So to future-proof yourself, it doesn't really matter what frequency range they can only go so high. Now we're in the 5G, we're in millimeter r wave range. It can only go so far before it's like ionizing radiation, and hopefully they won't do that, but you never know these days.
Next up.
I know it's like just because it's not thermal, right? Actually, if yeah, I'm not going to get on that topic, but basically, if you want to future-proof yourself, with more and more cell towers going up, we recommend getting the best model you can. But we do have it to where it's like if people are on a budget or whatever, we have entry-level models that's better than nothing. And if you live in the, downtown metropolitan area where you should have like a C1 or an Evo or something like that, you might definitely need to use like two of the more entry-level units if you're in that situation, because downtown metropolitan is far different, than, rural or suburbs, areas. So that's all dependent on your situation. Then the portable is not designed to be primary protection, but it's great for keeping cellular resonance and entrainment when you're used to being in a Blue Shield field. So if you're catching a flight or you're driving to the store or, around town, it's really great. It's kind of a poor analogy, but I still use it. It's if you think of a singing bowl. And there's two techniques. You can hit it like a gong and it starts ringing, right? Or you can like start moving the handpiece around the singing bowl and it starts to resonate slowly and build up. That's how a portable would work compared to like a plug-in. The plug-in unit, it's like hitting the gong. It gets the resonance going faster within like the 10 to 14 day acclimation period. And then the portable kind of keeps that resonance going. It's easy to kind of keep that gong sound going on the singing bowl, like when it's already kind of already vibrating at a high level. So it's not designed to be primary protection. I mean, but we've had anecdotal stuff like the owner, the brand founder, Mark, he would say that, you can't just get away with just a portable because it's not strong enough. I've had, college kids sleep with it under their pillow, like somebody on extreme budgets that have got it and they claim good results. Is it psychosomatic? I don't know. All we know is like what we've tested in the clinical trial, and we know that it's just there's some real deal stuff going on, but the strength, you definitely need to protect your home zone. So if you're on a budget, we always recommend going for a plug-in unit versus a portable, and then just wait until you can, get a portable. It's far more important to have the stronger signal.
I would imagine the portables are super nice. Like I'm thinking, like sending your kids to school. Those are usually, there's a, we could go down the rabbit hole of why, but there's a 5G tower by every elementary school, right? So like at least send your kids in their backpack or like have them do the pendant or whatever, so they have some sort of protection when they're in that environment.
The new the Phi 1, which is like the ABS plastic case, it has a little lanyard on it, so you can like tie it around a necklace and kind of have them wear it. That's the easiest one to use. It's we do homeschool, but back when my oldest daughter was in private school, we donated a Blue Shield to them because, the water
Oh,
tower had
that's
next to
awesome.
the school had a ton of
Right.
just repeaters on it. It's just crazy.
It is nuts.
So scary.
So I'd love to ask about the devices, especially for my own knowledge. As we go into like 6G, 7G, 50G, who knows where this is going? How do the Blue Shield devices really need to change, or because it's those like scalar, waves that are more like harmonizing your own body, are they like pretty much good for the long run?
They're good for the long run because, again, it doesn't matter. You can have geopathic stress, like natural stress, electromagnetic stress on the body. It works on that. It works on obviously all the generations. It doesn't really matter the stimulus as long as you can maintain entrainment with the Blue Shield. That's what's important. And the way that happens is that it's always changing the signal. So the how fast it's signaling off. And the major innovation that happened in Blue Shield in the last 10 years, it's been the same for a very long time. But we started doing dual band scalar versus single. So the original algorithm would just pulse it for a few seconds every half minute, and it would just kind of sweep the cells and just, day in, day out, it would just kind of sweep over the cells. But then when 5G and the millimeter waves is just this constant, super fast pulsing that was happening with the technology, we felt like, well, maybe we should add another layer where we have a constant on signal, and then that's interrupted, which gives the cells in the body a break. So you need that. That, like I'm saying, that on off. A lot of devices that are active, they only have set amount of frequencies, and they're on all the time, generally speaking. But this is why we call our technology active and dynamic. So it's active. It's not passive, like you put a you wear a pendant or put a card or a sticker on your body or something like that. That's just passive, right? Like a static net magnetic field, like laying on a magnetic mattress pad versus being on a PEMF. It's a lot more biologically active. You can look at that in photobiomodulation. It's more biologically active when it's pulsed. Same thing with scalar, right? So it needs to be dynamic and always changing, so your body never really gets used to it. So you create entrainment. There's that familiarity. There's that coherence. There's that structure, and that's that nature mathematics, if you will, built into it. But it's
Wait,
also
so it
always changing. It,
changes?
yeah, it's always kind of fluctuating. Like you could pass this down to your
That's
kids, and
crazy.
they won't be exposed to the same informational field that you were, which is
Wow.
cool because like you don't want to do the same 10 push-ups every day, right? You get
For
used to it. You
sure.
get really damn good at that, but like over time, it's not going to help with growth. And that was that was the trick early on, like how that Mark and his team kind of figured out. They're like, how do we make this to where your body doesn't tune it out? Because it can be easily perceived as another non-native, like, fake artificial. Everything in nature is so dynamic, it's always changing. Like all the cells are going through this metamorphosis all the time, and like multiplying and dividing and bringing new life in, and blood and nutrients and detoxification, like all these trillions of processes all the time. Like how do we even get close to replicating that? It's kind of like trying to like build a really awesome home water purification system and like expect it to do what spring water does. Like you just can't. Spring water, that's like thousands of years of processes, and the
And every
earth's
year it's going to be a
microbiome.
little bit different.
It's going to keep
Yeah,
changing.
but you can get it pretty clean and pretty structured and pretty oxygenated, and and get the hydrogen levels up, and you can do a lot of good stuff with purifying and structuring your water. So similarly, like Blue Shield is pretty much the best thing I found so far that can replicate nature in a way to where the body doesn't get used to it. It's not overstimulating to anybody, creating any imbalance. And the worst case scenario, somebody is just like not very sensitive and they don't notice. And most people can't notice changes at the cellular level. They can go get blood work, or they can wear Oura Ring and kind of get the data on the HRV or any of that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty interesting technology.
That is crazy. I didn't realize it changes.
Oh, I didn't either. That's awesome.
Oh.
Yeah,
Okay, so
it's
maybe we'll
important.
kind of wrap up with some of the clinical trial results. If you want to share any of that information, I think that'd be super interesting.
Yeah, so we tested a lot of metrics, and so obviously the most important one I've touched on is the voltage-gated calcium channel hypermethylation. That was really cool. We had improvements in heart rate variability, neurocognitive function across the board, like executive motor skills, reaction times, everything improved. And what's important to note about this study, and it's currently we have the overview on our website. So if you want to go to our blog post, we tell you exactly everything that we found. we're waiting for the peer review because this is obviously we did an independent review board certified clinical trial, never happened on an EMF device before. We wanted it obviously to be peer review published. So it's going to be PubMed indexed once it goes through that approval process. So we can't release the paper right now until that process happens and it'll be released and you can go on PubMed and check it out. But we had, all the neurocognitive stuff. We had the heart rate variability. We had blood sugar. There's a, and these people were healthy. We basically got approached by doctors, and they had a network of doctors that were willing to be participants. So, I mean, not to just assume that all doctors are, always healthy or whatever, but, they were, they had before blood work. And I was just like, man, what are these guys doing? They're like, blood sugar is like anybody would be happy with these results. And they still had a, an 8% drop in blood glucose, which if you look at Dr. Magda Havas's work, and with kids and RF exposure, they show a direct correlation there with blood sugar and stuff like that. So, yeah, we just saw all these really amazing metrics with like no side effects, 100% compliance. I mean, all people have to do is plug it in. So, like, to me, it's just like, wow, that's something you can just plug in. Benefits, no side effects or whatever. I mean, for a small cost investment. Pretty easy calculation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
But yeah, it's a it's quite a bit to get into if I don't know how we're doing on time, but the that's at blueshield-us.com. You go to education spot and basically has the breakdown the DNA methylation, so the gene signaling, the blood results, NK cells is another one, natural killer cells improved. And it's funny because you have to look at all of these ratios in balance with each other, right? Like you could say, wow, your NK cells are, lower. That's not really good to have low NK cells, right? Or you could
No.
say NK cells are high. That's good or bad or whatever. In relationship to all these other metrics, it's indicative of the body's not mounting an immune response. So having lower levels in the blood is actually kind of a good thing. But when you're fighting infection or having an inflammation response, you want them higher, kind of on higher alert. So I thought we did a really good job of breaking it down and kind of showing the relationships between all of these metrics and what they actually mean in the totality of the study. But all of these things that we were mentioning in the study reached statistical significance, so which is really great for the study. And the only thing, and this was just part of a, like we were self-funded. I mean, we put our own money on the line with this with the study and everything. The next one I want to do like placebo. That was just too costly. And, we ended up making some placebo units, but we didn't actually use them just because cost and logistics. And we basically did the study at the worst possible time in human history. Like the whole COVID thing just happened. And it was 2 years of just getting, compliance and, getting people to do stuff and go mobile phlebotomy. And it was just crazy. And imagine like what people's levels were, like a medical intervention that has never happened on the planet before. Totally experimental. How does that affect the blood? How does all the stress, the mental and emotional stress, affect the physiology in that time period, the before and after? So it's pretty wild to see that even like in these like where you're kind of worried like their blood work could be really bad or all this kind of stuff could be like insane because just the stress levels alone, it still performed like amazing. So it was crazy to
It's insane.
see.
It's actually probably a great time to do that study.
Right. And people that are, doctors doing those procedures to themselves, like it just shows that it, regardless of what kind of choices you make in your life, there's gonna, Blue Shield's gonna have some like pretty
Awesome.
substantial benefit if it's like working on those far upstream mechanisms,
Awesome. Wow.
Okay, well, everyone's going to need to listen to this 5 times, and which is a great thing. But
Yeah.
thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Happy to do it and happy to connect with y'all.
We definitely might need to do a part two.
Cool. Yeah. Indeed. I'd be down for that for sure. 'Cause
Deeper
it's
rabbit holes.
really hard to like kind of get people caught up to a basic understanding before you can kind of go deeper and know like what's really going on with this technology,
Yeah, well, you did a great job explaining all of it. So thank
Thank
you.
you.
All right, thank you. The statements in this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA. Information provided here and products recommended or sold on coffeewiththedocs.com and or our podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided by this site and or by this podcast is not a substitute for a face-to-face consultation with your physician and should not be construed as medical advice of any sort. By using any of this information or reading it, you are accepting responsibility for your own health and health decisions and expressly release Dr. Nicole Huffman and Dr. Abby Kramer and its partners and guests from any and all liability whatsoever, including that arising from negligence.